The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more."
The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, based on the readings, I began my homily by saying, I have good news and I have bad news. The bad news is we're all going to die someday. The good news is we're all going to die someday. Now, that's obviously from a Christian standpoint, because if we are truly faithful, we know that the fulfillment of our heart's desire will only come after death, when we see God face to face, when we have this wonderful, intimate communion with him for all eternity. But again, that only comes after death. Now, based on today's readings, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we're all going to die someday. The bad news is we don't know when. And that's something we need to be aware of, because our readings are all about vigilance, being prepared. And there's no good reason why any Christian who knows the scriptures and who knows the teachings of the church shouldn't be prepared for whenever the Lord comes for us. So just take a moment, just think, if the Lord were to come for you in an hour, would you be ready? Would you be excited? Would you be nervous? Would you want to say, "No, Lord"? Or would you maybe even say, "What took you so long?" But we're called to be vigilant so that when the Lord comes for us, it comes as something perfectly natural, normal, holy, desired, something that we truly want. So that's really what faithfulness is all about, being vigilant, being ready to greet the Lord when he comes. And that's really the story of Christianity and even Judaism. We have Abraham, who was vigilant. He was looking for the fulfillment of God's promise to him.
And the fulfillment of the promise was all about the multitudes of people who would come to believe because of Abraham's faithfulness. Now, Abraham didn't get to see it, at least on earth. He's certainly seeing it now. But he wanted to see that. The Israelites, they were vigilant, especially on the night of Passover. They were waiting for the angel of death to pass over their home so that they could get out of Egypt. And they were saved from Egypt. But again, they too did not see the absolute fulfillment of their hopes and desires. That again, only comes in heaven with God. And we're the same way. We get moments, we get hints, we get clues of the fulfillment of our desires here and there. But we know that the completion of it only comes once we go to the Lord in heaven. And hopefully that's what will happen for all of us. But we need to be vigilant. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared because we just don't know when the Lord's going to come. And yet we know He will come. And we also know that the Lord is patient. The Lord gives us every single thing we need at every single moment so that we can be ready. So it's not a mystery. It shouldn't come as a shock or surprise, but we should be ready. We should be vigilant, always watching. And what we're watching for is the Lord coming so that we can be accepted by the Lord and receive the fullness of our heart's desire, to be co-heirs. That's what the Eucharistic prayers say, to be co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That's God's promise if we're faithful. So as a co-heir with Jesus, now Jesus was God, God the Son, He got everything. It means we're going to share in that everything. We too are going to receive everything, but we need to be ready. And I'm going to suggest just two ways of being vigilant, of being ready. There's many other ways we can flesh it out, but two important ways. Number one, repentance. Repentance. We should always be aware of what we do. And when we realize we are sinning, when we realize that we are not loving God as we're called to do, when we realize we're not loving our neighbor as ourselves, we need to ask for forgiveness. To be very aware of that, not to say, oh, there was a little sin, or I'll get to it later. But at that moment, say, Lord, forgive me. And then also to take advantage of the sacrament of penance. Now, here's a freebie that God gives us so that we can repent of our sins and be released from the power of those sins so that we can be ready for the coming of the Lord. But do we take advantage of that great sacrament so that we're not burdened by that tarnish that we carry around with us from sin? But God has given us that sacrament so that we can be constantly cleansed of our sins and go forth and do the good that we're called to do. And what also goes along with repentance is reparation. And that simply means trying to repair the damage we did through our sins. We all need to be aware of that, to perhaps fast, to pray, to reconcile with other people as a way of saying to God, God, I want to be your follower. I want to repair the damage I've done with my sins because one day I want to be with you. So repentance, that's one of the ways in which we can be vigilant and ready for the Lord's coming. The second way, and this really goes to the heart of the mission of the church. This is why the church was created. That's why we're here. That's why we are baptized. We are commissioned as a church, as people, as individuals, to go forth and share the good news that we are celebrating right now with other people. Because hopefully we know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that without Him, there really is nothing. We know that He is the fulfillment of our heart's desire. And if we truly are grateful for this gift of faith, then hopefully we want to share with other people. We want to go in search of people who are living in darkness, who are living in despair, who are anxious, who are fearful, and say to them, God created you to be His son or daughter. He loves you. He wants you to share in the fullness of His glorious kingdom for all eternity. Come with us. Come. Pray with us. Walk with us. Let us serve you so that you too can become a disciple of the Lord and go forth and proclaim the kingdom. And again, that is the commission
each of us gets in baptism. We become a new creation. We become another Christ. And what did Christ do? He didn't stand around and just talk. He went everywhere to tell people about the good news, and he followed it up with action. He healed people. He fed people. He forgave people. That's what we're supposed to be doing as well. Sometimes we think that, you know, as long as I pray, go to Sunday Mass, that's sufficient. Well, that's the foundation for what we're supposed to be doing every single day. So when we go out those doors, we don't say, well, I've done my duty. But rather, we think to ourselves, okay, how in this week am I going to be an apostle? How in this week am I going to be a disciple? How am I going to bring the light of Jesus Christ, which is a great gift, how am I going to bring it into the world so that other people can see it? And think about people you work with, people in your families, friends, neighbors, people you don't even know. Are they hungering for the Word of God? Well, yes, they are, because everybody has that same desire for fulfillment, and only Jesus can fulfill it. So we already got that link with other people. So then to go a little bit further and to speak with other people about their experiences and to share our own faith, to pray right then and there for other people, that's a gift that we can give to other people. And Jesus says, if you really want to be ready, vigilant, in the gospel, he says, sell everything. Give it away. Let's face it, we've got so much in our lives, and it takes so much of our time and energy to keep things going. We forget that that's not important, ultimately. What's important is that we are free to do the work of the Lord, to be vigilant not only for ourselves, but to be vigilant and see who out there. And there are many, many, many people out there who don't know the gospel, who don't know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, who died for them, rose from the dead, and wants them to be fulfilled completely with him for all eternity. We know that. So it's our obligation, our duty, our responsibility to continue what Jesus began by going out and bringing the gospel message to others. Now, some Catholics will say, well, I do good things. I work in the food program, so forth and so on. Those are all good things. But the Bible says that faith comes through hearing, not through seeing, through hearing. And specifically through hearing somebody say, there is a God who loves you, who wants you. And we can all say that. So as you go forth again into the week, think of people that you already know who may not know about Jesus, or be willing to talk to a stranger if you're waiting in a line, whatever. But remember, you have the greatest gift that anyone can give to another person, and it is faith. The faith that Abraham had, the faith that Moses had, the faith that Jesus gave to his apostles and disciples. And it's one of those gifts that we're not called to keep to ourselves, but rather to share freely, to keep giving it to other people. So as you go forth again, think of where, what you want to do this coming week, how you want to proclaim your faith, and how you want to bring the light of Jesus Christ, which we are celebrating right now. How are you going to bring that light of Christ into the world so that other people too can come to know that if they want to have their hearts fulfilled, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life.